Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, Joe Olson, Houston, Texas, Chris Weiner, Fort Myer, Florida, for the news that you need to know on Wednesday, September 13th, 2023. First up, false flag warning. So I thought this was very interesting that our masters want to be masters. They need to control everything and they need to push everything and they can never go back because they're going to get caught if they do. So they got to move forward with this COVID hoax. And one of the possibilities is the report of schools closing, 100 schools in England, and that this could be used, multiple Rhode Island schools, more schools in Cleveland, Las Vegas, Southfield, Detroit, that they may close the schools in order to infect them with some sort of a respiratory illness and call that it's COVID and try for a scare event in order to justify their orders and that they're going to save us from that deadly virus. So, Joe, your thoughts on the possibility of a false flag moving forward with their COVID narrative and health orders?
Well, the reason they've been closing some of the schools in England is because they built them with a material called reinforced autoclave aerated concrete. And we don't use that in the United States. We do use concrete admixes that allow air entrainment to prevent freezing in the wintertime, but we generally don't have that kind of a problem. But apparently a lot of the precast concrete members that are used in their school buildings over there are having a little bit of a decay issue. And surprise, surprise, I came across a geologist who does a lot of research, and he's with the Finland Geographic Survey, and his name is Dr. Simone Mikko, M-I-C-H-A-U-X, with the Field Survey of Finland. He's got a great article on the electrodynamic fragmentation of concrete, and they're using it for concrete recycling now, and it's based on absorbing microwaves. So it could be that putting Wi-Fi in your schools is making your concrete decay right around your ears, and the school buildings will be unsafe from that reason. But we also know that they've weaponized and aerosolized Marburg, anthrax, and Ebola. So who knows what these assholes disinfectants. I don't trust a single thing they said. Great article today. It's Steve Kirsch's. We'll get to that in a little later news item.
Awesome. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, great points, Joe. And to add to that, you know, we really don't know what the hell these guys are attacking us with. We get things like nanotech, mRNA recombinants, Morgellons, things that are these clots and things that we're finding recently are very alarming, and they're very atypical to the human species, at least in this proportion, that have just all been, you know, unanimously from vaccinated people and this one control group. So, and the medical community continues to ignore it. So, the things that are going on right now are pretty insane. It's almost like a bizarre world. And, you know, we really need to take that into consideration to properly defend ourselves from what we're up against. And many of these things, you know, we're still learning what these things are and really what sort of defense we can take. So, this is really important that we come together as citizens of the world and really try to find solutions for much of these things they're throwing at us. I'll call them soft kills, flat out, because I think that's what they are. And they're control mechanisms. Look at the viruses. Look at even like I talk about weaponized candida and certain parasites that people have and how this can not only cause cancers, but can cause changes in people's behaviors as far as for sugar cravings and things like that. Amazing stuff. And of course, if you've ever seen the root of cancer, it basically is fueled by sugar. And for 30, 40 years, the Pepsi generation and the candy corporations have loaded this stuff onto our kids and loaded it into everything we could possibly consume. So, and knowing this is the case, they've done studies on this stuff back in the 30s and 40s. And now all of a sudden, 75 years later, we're figuring out what they already knew, just like we're going to be doing with this Pfizer vaccine data shit they're trying to hold from us for 75 years.
Those are great points, Chris. Yeah, so much when we break three, we're going to find out that so much had been normalized for poisoning and torturing us, and that we just don't know. and we just take it for granted. And they slip these things in as if it's normal behavior into corporate media, and we just follow along because we don't know any better, and we wouldn't imagine that they would normalize such poisons and tortures, but yet there it is. All right, next. I want to give an update on the COVID crimes against humanity. First, this is a contract, and this is Pfizer and the government of South Africa. And Pfizer is just saying, yeah, the purchaser further acknowledges that the long-term effects and efficacy of the vaccine are not currently known, and that there may be adverse effects of the vaccine that are not currently known. So that blows up their narrative of safe and effective. And they got, I got a few articles in here, and here's one that Joe was talking about, that the JAMA paper from Steve Kirsch, who I strongly recommend, that, yeah, the elderly weren't helped at all. And as a matter of fact, they were harmed by it, and that this is demonstrated by the data. And yeah, I won't go through it. It is here. And this is what Kirsch does time and time again, to be able to lay out the facts that pretty much the opposite of what we're told is what we get. And if you need documentation to be able to withdraw consent, this is a good essay to go over the major lies and crimes that I found. And then we got Novak Djokovic. After being denied entry to the United States for the past two U.S. Opens, he comes back, he gets permission, he refused to be vaccinated, and he won the U.S. Open with that. All right, gentlemen, Joe, anything that you want to say regarding an update for so-called COVID?
Yes. Well, the Steve Kirsch article I'm referring to is at his Substack today, and it's the definition of safe and effective. Safe is give it to 50 people, and eight or fewer end up having a medical emergency. So that's safe. Effective is if after 30 days, nobody died. So that there's your safe and effective. But I came across another Substack that's really incredible, and this one's got a really lengthy article. Truth 613 Substack. Stay away from new RSV, flu, and COVID shots. Absolutely. These are injectable mass casualty events, and that's absolutely 100% what the CDC and the FDA represent now. They are completely untrustworthy. Yesterday, one of the reporters with American Happens Network, and they had the other guy named Mick Harrison, who is the lead counsel on Lawyers for 1-1 Truth, and he went through about a half dozen different lawsuits they've got going in a bunch of different jurisdictions. I'll be following that up next week with a bigger report with her, because I had problems with my video, surprise, surprise. But anyhow, we're going to sort that out, and I'll do it next week. So I might not be available next week. I've got business stuff I need to do too. So, but bottom line is this 911 thing is spiraling out of shape. And what I forgot to mention on Monday was a previous little FBI incident at the World Trade Center building. This was on February 26, 1993, where they baited a guy named Emad Salem, E-M-A-D-S-A-L-E-M, into a van with fake bombs and a fake detonator in the World Trade Center, North Tower World Trade Center building, and he recorded FBI doing that. And then they tried to prosecute him, and in order to get out, he turned state witness against a guy named Ramzi Youssef, and that's the one they ended up fingering and sending to jail. Life sentences plus 240 years. So I don't think that out walking around. Bottom line is, that's how our FBI is in. Add that to the vast collection that we discussed on Monday.
Yeah, and that history of the 1993 attempted bombing of the World Trade Center, where that guy, the patsy who did put on a wire for himself, and he said, so you're going to use fake explosives, and then they were responsible, the FBI was responsible for the explosives in the van, and they allowed it to happen. And that was part of the strength of the evidence that I presented to students in teaching what happened on 9/11 as the precedent. And again, the history, I mean, you can't, it's not a guarantee that the historical events are going to repeat and that those people are going to do similar actions, but it's where to bet your money and it's where to start as a place of investigation. Chris, your thoughts.
Carl, I was going to also add to your points and great ones. On the 26th of February, 93, they went into Waco, if you remember, immediately after this was discovered and Ramsey got caught. These guys were all working for the FBI or were informants at some point in time for the FBI or assets of the intelligence agencies or all three. So this is a big deal, and it just got overlooked. And certainly Waco, you know, obviously was hold my beer type material. And look what they did with that shit show on TV. I would also like to say that the COVID isolation thing, think about how many loved ones have died without the comfort of their family, have left this world alone, and certainly not been able to see their loved ones because of this hysteria that was put on people. And my family included went through this. I know so many people who have too. And this is just unbelievable that these guys have the gall to sit here and not only consider trying to do this shit over again, but seriously trying to get away with the shit they got away with last time. So I think this will continue as long as these guys are unpunished. And I think at some point in time, the justice system is going to have to look into not only this Pfizer data stuff that they're holding for 75 years, and I don't mean to pick on Pfizer, they're all these Moderna, all these companies are doing the same shit, but more or less you don't do anything good that has that kind of a sealed thing on data and certainly clinical trials. And the fact that this was given emergency granted emergency type of clearance, this is something entirely more diabolical and sinister. And I don't think this was anything along the lines of helping anyone. Think about all the issues. You're more susceptible to get COVID if you took the vax, right? 3-4 times more, statistically speaking, according to Steve Kirsch's data and many others that I've seen. But let's just say also, you got all kinds of side effect type of issues you're going to be fighting from the mRNA recombinant, the adjuvants that are in there, you know, acetone, glycol, stuff like this being directly piped in, graphene oxide, and of course, a lot of fetal cells that are along with that. And this is not really disclosed to anybody. It is protected under the guise of intellectual property and distributed as some sort of a medicine. This is absolutely diabolical, the fact that this is being done in such a way and being rushed through under these circumstances, all based on deception. So yeah, somebody at the top, you know, they got to serve up Fauci at bare minimum and maybe much, much more. Bill Gates probably, who knows? They'll just execute clones and, you know, fool the people.
Yeah.
And I mentioned today that 4 FBI offices had reported Arab flight school irregularities. Well, today, Gateway Pundit had a news clip from July of 2001 when a FBI agent in Phoenix said that there were issues going on, and he notified the FBI, and they told him, don't worry about it. We got an eye on everything. Don't investigate any further. So there you go. Absolute 100%. The FBI has been dirty since 1924. If you want to get some additional information, a short little rant that I had with Jim Fetzer discussing this, you can go to BitChute, comma, in the search, go Joe Olson, comma, FBI, and it's a 25-minute rant, and I go through all of the shit that J. Edgar Hoover did prior to them doing all this stuff with JFK, RFK, MLK, and he was heavily involved in all of that too. So bottom line is, we have had rotten federal government organizations since day one. None of these things are constitutional, and none of them need to exist after we have our great reset and we hang a bunch of these rotten bastards.
Man, if you peel back COINTEL, just look up COINTEL, people that maybe aren't as familiar as Joe and myself and Carl are about this stuff, but just, you know, start looking up all the operations that they were running in this and how many informants they had, not only in police departments, but in criminal gangs, all kinds of stuff. So these guys created instability and gave stability, law and order, order abko. This is all Masonic too. Edgar Hoover was a 32nd and 33rd degree Mason. All these guys at the top of these agencies are all bowing down to the secret organization, and nobody even can talk about it. It's like Fight Club.
Yes, and I'll put it here in the show notes and BitChute an article that goes through the evidence that the FBI, of course, were involved in the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and MLK. And pretty much it's whatever the opposite you think that organization would be doing is what they are doing. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, they're actually not a criminal stopping organization, but a criminal enabling organization. Same thing with the CIA. And regarding COVID, let me just be clear about that. Let me put on my AP U.S. government teacher hat here, and that these are crimes against humanity, and we have a prima facie case. So the top academic and professional standard is called prima facie, which just means it's on its face. And legally, if you can make a prima facie case that something is criminal, that is sufficient unless it is refuted. And the among the evidence that I presented for 100 teacher colleagues' consideration is that there was no justification to declare an emergency because the hospitals were not overrun. The CDC admits that they've never had a sample of COVID-19 and they created these PCR tests with generic flu. And that's 100 different organizations, universities, and professional health organizations. And then they claim that the flu disappeared by 99% when they gave a flu test and claimed that it was COVID. And then they defined that the deaths from COVID is anybody who tested positive with this. If anybody was injured within 14 days of getting a shot, those injuries were ascribed to COVID among the unvaccinated. And we do have the documentation of the damages, the harm required, and the deaths, and that vaccine safety studies since 1986 have never been submitted to Congress, and Congress goes along with it. The masks are refuted by studies, and the hypocritical maskless leaders came out and just mocked us in our face. DHS says that if you challenge COVID, you're a domestic terrorist, and the CDC had published plans in order to put the unvaccinated into camps in order to protect the vaccinated. So these are crimes against humanity. And if people want to accept another round, they're just stupid. All right, I want to go over several encouraging signs about the state of our opponents. And first up, I'm just going to play this video of Macron going to the largest. It doesn't let me do this here. Okay, now I'm screen sharing. If I do the full screen, it doesn't record the movement and the sound. So Macron went to the largest stadium in France. Here's what happened.
Smithies, are they booing me?
No, they're saying boo-erns, boo-erns.
Are you saying boo or boo-erns?
Boo! Because that's just so powerful. I just want to stop and ask for your guys' comments. And if you think Joe Biden or the actor playing Joe Biden would fare any better, Joe.
Oh, yeah, we got a whole raft of these people that are up for that kind. We've got Castro Trudeau, yeah, little Fidel up in Canada that can't go out in a crowd without getting booed beyond belief. We've got Rishi Sunak in the UK, PM that was never elected by anybody, and he can't go outside without being booed constantly. We have Chancellor Olaf Scholz in Germany. He can't go out without being booed constantly. And we've got FJB. Go, Brandon. Yeah, let's bring that little skeleton out of the, take him up. It's all a rotten kabuki theater puppet show, and we don't deserve any more of this crap.
Thank you. Chris.
Yeah, I'll add to that and say that Brandon or Joe Biden, whatever you call this guy, is kind of like the spit shield at the salad bar. He's there to really protect these oligarchs. He's a puppet out there. He's more or less disposable. He's a cannon fodder, laughing stock type of thing, falling upwards on the stairs all the time and downwards and just doing the creepy stuff that he does, saying the morbid things that he says. The man just proves himself to be a diabolical monster every day. And of course, the people are just razzed on by it. This is, like I say, almost like the formula they use in kayfabe and kabuki theater and wrestling, you know, the babyface versus heel type of script. And I think that it's all playing into a longer narrative that will probably be rescued when Donald Trump comes over the top rope and you know, just takes America back by force, you know, and the crowd goes nuts. The guys with the foam fingers are going crazy. The guys that already bought the tattoos and the t-shirts are going to go even more nuts. You know, it's going to be a great day. The pageantry will be phenomenal. This is going to be kind of what I think they're leading into as far as for America. And maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing, but I think ultimately at the end of the day, it's just going to be a ruse, a deception, something to give the people hope or something to believe in or a national hero. And in reality, it's going to be run by the same guys that were running the show before. I'll have to say that in terms of like the FBI being complicit in helping with this, they were started back in the Roosevelt administration, Teddy Roosevelt, and his attorney general was a guy related to Napoleon Bonaparte. So you had the French and European and English aristocracy once again taking proxy ownership in many of the instruments of production and finance in this day and age in the early 1900s, and the FBI allowed that to be secured. They would pretty much dispatch ethnic gangs through one means of channel and departmentalization to go out and start crime and run people out of neighborhoods and you know, force media coverage with things and take papers out of newsstands and put the ones that were supposed to be there in there, you know, stuff like this. So, I mean, they had a different form of propaganda and they needed these you know, foot soldiers to uphold that type of stuff. Now they're using this through social media, AI and automation and things like that. And of course, the influencers. So I think that really it's a different type of warfare. It's a different type of scenario. And I don't know. I think the parallels are very similar, but the technocracy has improved tremendously. And the means by which they can funnel us into these cul-de-sacs and these dead-end corrals with these Judas goats is entirely more efficient. So these are things we really have to take into consideration ourselves before we dive into anything for that matter and realize that this is the same group pulling this type of cycle on us every few generations. And they use these trauma-based mind control things like 9/11 or COVID or any of these things to engineer, you know, their social programs and certainly to program the next generation into compliance or obedience with this lunacy.
Very good. All right, I'm going to go over a few more stories of the state of our wannabe puppeteer masters. So this was fascinating in Vietnam, and I'll go ahead and play this, that I have never seen this before. So the, I got to pull this up here on Twitter. So before Propaganda Pierre was simply claiming that Biden made perfect sense, and now when he's not making sense, this is what happened.
The conference overall, we talked about stability. We talked about making sure that the third world, the southern hemisphere had access to change. It had access. It wasn't confrontational at all.
You came up with many thank you, everybody. This ends the press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you bringing USA interest above the right?
Raised it with every person I met with.
Mr. President, are you worried about your son being indicted, Mr. President?
That's wild. The optics of that is crazy bad that this guy is a dementia hack. This guy is an influencer. And this guy, it just found out that his agency is being paid $200,000 by the DNC. Now, again, this isn't definitive proof, but we operate by prima facie evidence. And the prima facie evidence is that this guy is an actor. His talent agency is being paid $200,000 by the DNC. So the question would be, if this guy isn't what you're buying, which it certainly would look like, then what is that money being paid for? Now we have Joe's beloved governor, Greg Abbott, being called out by Tucker Carlson as a liar for allowing this invasion across the border. And what I found fascinating in this couple of minutes is that this, when we have the emperor's new clothes moment victory, this is what we're going to see. People aren't going to be fooled and they're going to use straight up language like lies and crimes. And this was after Tucker outed Barack Obama as gay, but for this tweet that Tucker chose to use with the picture, a man who claims he had sex with Barack Obama in 1999 tells his story. And then we have Big Mike right there. Let's see. Yeah, that's the next story there. All right. Where is it? Yeah, let's just go ahead and go here too with the last part of the State of the Union of our political opponents. So this is the Daily Mail. And just as a summary of the evidence in the past 2 years, DailyMail.com has revealed whistleblower allegations that Joe was acting as a chairman of the board in his son's Latin American online gambling firm that he shared for bills with Hunter, discussed his son's business dealings with an alleged Chinese spy, collected up to $5.2 million in unexplained income, met with 15 of Hunter's business associates, and was named in multiple emails as partner in the first son's scheme, along with Chairman McCarthy's promise to finally do impeachment, which we'll see how that rolls out. All right, Joe, your comments on any of those?
Yes, well, Texas is in a unique position of any of the states in the United States. We were an independent republic for 10 years, and we willingly joined the United States. The Civil War kind of tainted that, and that's a whole different subject. We'll get into it at a later date. But bottom line is we had 22 northern states with 20 million people passing a tariff on 11 southern states with 10 million people, which is the exact definition of democracy, two wolves and a sheep deciding what's going to be for dinner. The Morrill tariff was going to be 39% to start off, and that's what Lincoln signed, and the day he signed it was the day that we fired on Fort Sumner. So bottom line, let's drop that. But bottom line is Texas has the authority to protect our own border, and our rotten governor had material sitting on the ground that could have completed the MAGA fence along our border in the areas that it needed to be. He could have deployed National Guard here in Texas, independent of what was happening. Instead, what he does is put them on buses and ship them off at taxpayers' expense to dump them in somebody else's backyard, but it's a tiny fraction of the ones that are coming across. And so we're being invaded. We've got this spineless rhino in office that has never done anything correct, and he's always been a blight on our state, and he's sitting quietly while they're trying to impeach the elected Attorney General Ken Paxton over charges that are being heard in the Senate when there was no defense allowed in the House and they impeached him. In the Senate, they're actually cross-examining the witnesses, and they're all turning out to be liars. Absolutely 100% uniparty framing and tarring of Ken Paxton, because he's the only one in the elected rhino establishment that's standing up in any way to this rotten government we've got in the state of Texas. Don't kid yourself about how wonderful Lone Star State is. It sucks as bad as frickin' California.
Chris, your thoughts?
I think it's a 50-state solution, too, where they have infiltrated with the uniparty or dual-party optic, where they put distraction, diversion, moral relativism, or whataboutism, or any sort of rhetoric they want on the people, and let them clash about these type of things. And really, if the vote doesn't count and they're just putting optics out there and using that, too, as a consensus management optic, I think that that's kind of a... Well, what we were talking about, like, say, imagine Joe Biden goes to a sports stadium, right? He's going to get booed out of the place. Everyone in the world is going to be saying, let's go, Brandon, something like that. You know, of course, they're not going to tell you exactly what they're saying, but every person in there is going to be shouting it. So the fact that they're going to say that this guy got 81 million votes, I think is like the illusion on the elephant in the circus, you know, where they basically train these baby elephants with these small ropes. And then when they get old enough, they still get guided around by these little ropes that they can easily break and tear down the whole circus with. But they don't even try because they remember in their age that this is that the rope kind of held them and they couldn't break it. So in other words, this type of conditioning, this type of expectation, this type of I say political theater in its best or worst, is what we're going to get for our tax dollar and the debt that comes along with it. So I think at some point in time, this has to hit home to the people. This is a very real thing, whether we think white hats are in charge or whether we think this is a Trump saves the day or whether there's, you know, whatever you're going to say. Arguably speaking, we're in the trench and we're at the brink, and really people have to come around to this awareness that we are really defending ourselves, and a war has been waged against us, and it's by the people controlling our own government.
Exactly, and we are at an endgame choice, and it seems to me anyway that the orchestration of events just seems to spur people to take one of three possible positions. The good, that's us. You can discern good from evil, and you're choosing the good, and you're demanding justice. The bad, those are the parasites, those are the liars, the psychopaths, and they've chosen bad. And they want to utilize other people as things to help them out. And the third group is those who cannot or will not make a choice. You can't tell the difference. All right, next. I want to go into the response of our deep state opponents, or at least what we're being shown. And this is the most remarkable. So the New Mexico governor has declared a health emergency. So the story goes is that some kids got shot, not shot with the coerced so-called vaccine that the kids have to take in order to attend school, but kids got shot, and she said, okay, so we're declaring an emergency, a health emergency, and because of this emergency, as the executive officer able to declare an emergency, you can't carry a gun anymore. It's suspended for 30 days. Now, the response of this is that you know, the end game just keeps going on and on and on. But at CNN, the host read to her the Constitution of the state. And it says, no law shall abridge the right of the citizen to keep and bear arms for security and defense, for lawful hunting and recreational use, and for other lawful purposes, but nothing herein shall be held to permit the carrying of concealed weapons. No municipality of county shall regulate in any way any incident of the right to keep and bear arms. And the governor is making the case saying, okay, so it's just a temporary suspension. I'm not violating their ability to keep and bear arms. This is just a temporary emergency. So, and she's saying that anybody who sees it differently is an extremist, and that she has been sued, and that gun owners in New Mexico have been open carrying in response. And I think that the governor is going to lose this battle bad, but we shall see. And here's Joaquin Hagopian with further documentation of, and law enforcement has stood up and refused to enforce the governor's order. Now, and you got Jonathan Turley, the legal scholar from George Washington University, saying that it's a flagrant violation of the Second Amendment. Yeah, it is. The attorney general has said, I'm not going to support this shit. And so we'll see how this goes on from here. But I am glad that that is such an easy battle, a relatively easy battle to fight. And I look forward to the progress of that battle. Joe, your thoughts?
Yes. Well, Lujan Wuhan, the governor, is an elected Dominion crooked voting machine governor. And she knows it. And she knows she's hated across New Mexico. She knows that the Democratic Party does not have near the amount of support that they pretend to have in that rotten little stinky state. She knows that their state is one of the lowest income states and one of the few negative Western states as far as population growth, because nobody wants to live in a state that's that corrupt and crooked. But the sheriff in Albuquerque, the sheriff of the county where Albuquerque is, says, I don't know who she thinks going to enforce this, because I'm not going to let any of my officers enforce this illegal restraint. So bottom line is, there may end up being an impeachment hearing, and they may be able to remove that rotten little piece of garbage, because she is absolutely horrible. And she was number one on forcing mandates on vaccinations and masks and social distancing. I mean, she was all on the CDC and FDA requirements. And she's just a tiny tyrant that needs to be removed. She's absolutely disgusting. Anybody has ever heard her press conference? Christ, New Mexico, get your shit together and get with.
Yeah, and with that point with law enforcement, I think this is in Joaquim's article, is that it may have been the attorney general who took the stand saying, okay, so my job, I'm supposed to protect the governor, but in this case, I'm not going to protect the governor because of my oath of office and the oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And the state constitution takes precedent over any of the following orders. I had tried that argument as a public school teacher in Northern California, and it allowed me to not be fired, because I framed everything that I was doing is that I'm just upholding the oath that you gave me as a prerequisite to either even enter into any of the school buildings, that we're supposed to just have this limited government. So we'll see how that plays out. Chris, your thoughts?
Well, I missed what you guys were talking about. I had to jump in and pump some gas real quick, so I kind of didn't catch what you guys were really discussing. You want to give me a quick overview of what you were talking about?
Yep. So we were talking about the New Mexico governor saying that it's illegal to carry a gun for 30 days based upon the health emergency that she declared and an order that she gave, that based upon, you know, kids are getting shot, so I'm going to order that you can't carry a gun for 30 days.
Okay, well, I'm going to put this out there. It just kind of triggered a few thoughts real quick off the top of my head. We were talking earlier about COINTELPRO, and I talked about some of the operations beneath that that involved not only military intelligence, but assets on the street, people that were informants, things like that, people in prisons. And really what it was is creating instability, riots in the streets during the race riots, the 60s and 70s. And, of course, even some of the Black Panther stuff, most of those people were FBI informants and being run by federal agents and things like that. So my question to you is, do you think all these people that are not only coming in across the borders in mass numbers, these fighting age male population men, these illiterate folks that are probably being utilized in third world countries for the very same purpose that they're being brought here for, do you think that this could be an accident, or do you think that these type of numbers and this type of consistency is calculated? And second of all, why do you think that they're trying to disarm the citizens while promoting this type of behavior and bringing these type of people in? And third of all, is it possible that maybe something very similar could be going on clandestinely without our knowledge, that these operatives or these people could be facilitating in terms of creating, you know, potential domestic instability or things of that nature? Now, given the track record of the people we're discussing and given the amount of money they have now that they can just go dark print money and do whatever they want with it and have the full blessing of the FBI and everything else in terms of law enforcement and investigation, do you think these guys are ever going to really investigate themselves or get caught doing this stuff? No, they're going to keep this going. They're going to play the game with the apparatus they have in place. And it's going, if it goes unmitigated, they're going to do some serious damage to the American people. And they're going to finish the plan they've had for us for a long, long time. So I think that it's something that has to be seriously considered. And I know people think, oh, conspiracy theory, this, that, whatever. But, you know, it's really not. It's citing, you know, PatCon. It's citing COINTEL. It's citing, you know, JTTF. This is all stuff that's happened. This is track record stuff. So, like, every generation wants to snooze through the past generation's, you know, issues and under-educate themselves. And I think really that's the biggest mistake we make is under-educating ourselves and underestimating the magnitude of institutional power that this thing has and how it needs to be brought down.
That's a great point, and I think it deserves some highlighting there. So the idea that we've had 7 million people illegally cross the border, and as you guys state, a lot of them are military-age males. So what if? And Fetzer has been all over this. What if they arm these people and then our opponents coordinate attacks upon cities and destroy infrastructure, and that they want to do it to cause the maximum damage? So why not try to claim, oh, yeah, and we're ordering you not to carry any weapons while we're doing this? So this could be a big move on the chessboard. And I would predict that our opponents are so vulnerable, they're so close to being caught, that they have to do something big to scare Americans back into their protection and their control. And some sort of an orchestration with a false flag attack of invading invaders, or just an outright grab for overt power and a revolution, wouldn't be outside of the range of possibilities that I see. All right. Anything else on that topic, gentlemen? Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, if the 2024 elections end up being the least bit legitimate, we've got a whole lot of hopeful signs, because this just in, Willard the Bane Bandit, also known as Mitt Romney, has said he's not going to run for re-election in Utah because they stole the vote last time, and they're pretty sure they're not going to be able to steal it this time. And he's proven to be an absolute thorn in everybody's side and a 100% rhino. So good riddance, Willard, you stinky, rotten SOB.
All right. Then next, Chris, you supplied this great meme: a system that has no problems printing currency without wealth will have no problems printing votes without voters. And in addition to this, you also had this gentleman talking about the hidden cost of inflation. And I will just go ahead and play the first couple of minutes of this so that you understand this gentleman's point, with in which I am in agreement in.
2023, yes. Maneco 64, home of alternative economics and contrarian views. Today, we're going to look at what they don't tell you about inflation at the Ivy League and also at Oxford, Cambridge, or at the LSE. And you can do this experiment at home. I've done it this morning, and I'll show it to you. But before we kind of look at inflation for dummies, and I'm not trying to insult anyone, but we're going to look at what a few people back in history said about inflation. And the one that's really interesting is John Maynard Keynes, what he said about Lenin and inflation. And he said this in The Economic Consequences of the Peace, a book he wrote, I think, after World War I. So this is what Lenin said. This is what Keynes said. Lenin is said to have declared that the best way to destroy the capitalist system was to debauch the currency. By a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate, secretly and unobserved, an important part of the wealth of their citizens. By this method, they not only confiscate, but they confiscate arbitrarily. And while the process impoverishes many, it actually enriches some. The sight of this arbitrary rearrangement of riches strikes not only at security, but also at confidence in the equity of the existing distribution of wealth. Those to whom the system brings windfalls beyond their deserts and even beyond their expectations or desires become profiteers, who are the object of the hatred of the bourgeoisie, whom the inflationism has impoverished, not less than of the proletariat. As the inflation proceeds and the real value of their currency fluctuates wildly from month to month, all permanent relations between debtors and creditors, which form the ultimate foundation of capitalism, become so utterly disordered as to be almost meaningless. In the process of wealth, getting degenerates into a gamble and a lottery. Sounds familiar? Gambling, lottery, speculation, stock market, derivatives. Lenin was certainly right. There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction, and does it in a manner which not one man in a million is able to diagnose. So that's
all right. I'll go to Chris first, since you supplied that information. What analysis would you like to supply, brother?
Oh, that reminds me of something I heard about a little kid in the old Mughal Empire, when the British took over the India, basically, and they were running out them, and the people were so poor and in the thuggy generation.
Let's go to Joe.
Well, surprise. Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about trying to do a video while you're mobile. One of the courses I had to take in economics, and I really resisted doing it. It was like, man, I don't need to take economics, but engineers are required to do cost-benefit analysis on projects and various systems within the project. And so I like reluctantly said, okay, well, I'll have to go ahead and take it. Turned out to have some interesting information on time value of money and interest. But one of the things, the first day of class, the instructor said, I'm going to teach you something about money supply. He said, here's a simple example. Two castaways wash up on a deserted island. They look around. There's nothing there. They decide that they will case the island for resources. So one of them says, I'll walk this way. You walk the other way. We'll meet on the other side of the island and compare what we find. So they get around the other side of the island. One guy says, well, I found two bananas. The other guy says, I found a suitcase with $1 million cash in it. The question from the professor is, what is the cost of a banana? That's how directly proportional the supply of money is to the value of commodities and real assets. And they printed fake money, counterfeit money for 125 years. It's absolutely insane. We need to stop the Fed.
Chris, we'll get back to you. We got
about... Yeah. I don't know where I got dropped off or booted out at here, but I was talking about in the British Empire when they took over India in the 1700s, 1800s, there was records of children throwing rubies across, skipping rubies across the pond. And it was because they had no way of selling these rubies in a marketplace. So their natural resource was not valuable to them directly. They couldn't appreciate the value of their own resources. And it was because of the market manipulation that was done in the markets that were controlled by the merchants that took over their country, the East India companies and things like that. So think about this in terms of silver now. You know, there's a good thing Lynette Zhang did on ITM Trading. It was a video today, and it really made me think. She was talking about how many loaves of bread an ounce of silver could buy versus, you know, even a tenth of an ounce of gold or something like that. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. I let her really explain it better. I think you guys should go check it out. But more or less, with the inflation that has gone on, basically the cost of goods and the value of these commodities that they're manipulating and debasing, it's still about the, you know, the same value in terms of what you can buy, and if not more than you can buy in terms of dollars to gold and the price of goods. I know it's kind of a going around the block to get next door in terms of the explanation here, but I know a lot of people really study economics and know what I'm talking about and understand sound money. And you know, the Keynesian thing is fantasy land, and it's about to expire, and it's about to crash and burn, and it's going to go out the window, just like the Darwin theories of evolution too. I mean, these are completely fabricated lunacies, and I think the vaccine thing is going to go along with it. All these offerings from the British Empire that have subverted the American freedom and you know, health and things like that, and wealth, I think it's all going to come crashing down. And I think the people that are manipulating these markets are going to have a hell of a time when that does. And I think you're going to see the valuation of things go crazy the other way. You're going to see some of these precious metals probably going like the way of Bitcoin in terms of valuations, and some of these things that used to be heavily valued crashing down, and some of the, you know, things that maybe have gone by the way of the dinosaur coming back. I really think we have to start producing goods in this country, or we're going to have serious problems. We cannot be a service country. We cannot, you know, really allow automation to take it and AI to take our place. And it can't be in a way where it really outsources the value of human labor, because that really destroys every single thing we know about capitalism. And at that point, we're going to have to really renew what we think we know. And I think also we never really had capitalism in our lifetime or anyone's lifetime that's been around on this planet, that's still around, maybe Kissinger. You know, since 1913, we've had corporate socialism, and we've had American taxpayers austerity, basically. So yeah, this is an instrument of dispossession and an asset stripping operation from the get-go. And I think it's evident. You can give any group the ability to do what the Fed has in the last 100 years, they're going to end up with 99% of the resources, just like these guys did.
And you're exactly right. They do have 99%. The top 1% own 99% of the assets. And I'll put this into the show notes as well. This is my best shot of being able to document it. Again, the point that I want to make is that this is criminal fraud. This is Shadow Stats economist John Williams, and all he does is take a look at the changes of definitions of inflation over time compared to the 1990 and the 1980 definitions of inflation. You can go back, you can triple whatever the inflation rate is, and that's pretty much what we have today, along with other alternative data for unemployment. The CPI, it's all ridiculous. It's all a lie. It's all criminal. The idea of causing this inflation, you get a seniorage boost of being able to spend the money first, and then you have this exponential debt. So the fundamental fraud is that what you're using for money is actually debt, and those are the mechanics, and it's absolutely certain that it's absolutely fraud. but until we can stand up and see it. And that's one of the most difficult areas to see, is the financial fraud. But if it crashes, then everyone will see it and have an opportunity to point to another area and call for arrests. All right, the last story that I want to go ahead and point to is that the idea of disarming Americans is refuted by the data, and that the use of guns protects us from crime, not the other way around. It's not the people who are carrying, who are law-abiding citizens, who are the problem. They're actually solving problems. And back to the FBI, it turns out that they just go ahead and lie about this data as well. Of course, they do, because the leadership of the FBI, our opponents, have captured every agency. So this is an extraordinary undertaking that we're engaged in, the ability to be able to take out, to identify the criminality and the fraud of every agency. And yet what we're able to do, what we're able to say, the actions that we've been able to take as patriots have just put us in a position where we still require some sort of a breakthrough. And we have good news of taking a look at the exposure and the vulnerability of our political opponents. But still, the show goes on day after day, where these psychopaths, these puppeticians, these public serpents are the ones in charge, despite the fact that all of the data being in our court. All right. So with that last story, Joe, anything that you want to say about the FBI lying about the gun defensive use statistics?
Oh, they lie about absolutely everything. Why should we bother with just one issue? This is being streamed right now live by Redacted, which is, gosh, mine like a steel trap, man. Trying to remember his Morris, Clayton Morris and his wife, Natalie, do a great job. They've got 2 million subscribers on YouTube. They do really great analysis. And right now they're doing one that's the CIA cover-up of the COVID origins exposed by whistleblower. So it may be that we find out that our own government is our worst enemy, like we've been telling you for decades. So bottom line is, stay tuned, kids, and be aware of what's going on, because you live in a 100% false paradigm reality bounded by faux science, fake history, filtered news, financed by fiat currency, and directed by demonic baby rape and cannibals. And it's time for this reality to end.
Very good. Thank you, brother. All right, so we'll go on to our final thoughts, and it'll be me and then you, unless Chris comes back. Patriots, we've never been closer. We've never been in a better position for our opponents to be so damningly, game-endingly destroyed by the revelation of their corruptions and their crimes. But we're not there yet. So it is at a very risky part. I am at 95% certainty that what we're seeing is a show orchestrated by white hats behind the scenes to produce the effect that where we're at right now is the ridiculous, tragic comedy of our leaders who have nothing, no empathy, no care. They have no honor. Their only intention is to maximize their own profit off of resources, and that is natural resources and human resources. That's us. They hate us. They want to use us. We are not human to them. We are some sort of a usable and disposable resource to them. So hang in there. Watch out. This is a time where things can blow up. And until we're on the other side of the breakthrough, just stand in the truth and be aware of your surroundings. All right, Joe, your final thoughts.
Well, I wish I could say something optimistic about the lawyers for 911 Truth, but I have no trust at all in any portion of the justice system. So the only way this is going to be tried effectively is going to be in the court of public opinion. And somehow we need to get a forum big enough where people can look at it and we can present the vast amount of evidence over days and days and days. So we may have to have a citizen's inquiry. And I'll be more than happy to be an expert witness and provide expert testimony about the actual facts of what happened that day, particularly in regard to the World Trade Center building, because that's the only one I've really focused on. At Shanksville, there wasn't a single plane part, body, luggage, nothing available there. Pentagon, there was no available information that there was a single human being involved in a plane hitting that building. There was no plane debris that wasn't thrown from the roof and still had the vines when it was scavenged out in the jungle in Bolivia. Spencer's covered that pretty well. And so bottom line is, I want to concentrate on the largest structural failures in the history of the world and have never been corrected by any building code because the buildings were built in a very reasonable manner and could withstand five times the load, any load that was placed on them. And they only failed because of overt actions on the part of our government. And it could have only happened because of our government. And so if you're counting on any portion of the government to have the courage to stand up to this level of evil, forget about it, because there's not five justices on the Supreme Court and there's not going to be any on any of the circuit or district courts that are going to be able to stand the pressure of being able to say, yes, our government is beyond redemption and beyond evil. So that's where we are, kids. But the bottom line is, once you reach critical mass with public awareness, you can hopefully flip the pyramid, and that's what we've got to do.
Excellent. And with the outstanding remarks that you have, Joe, as historians, we're trained to evaluate types of evidence. And the quality of evidence that is strongest that we go to first is physical, because the laws of physics can't be messed with. And then you go to testimony, or before you go to testimony, you go to documents, and then to the testimony. And in the case of 9/11, as you've made the case so well with Jim and with others, is that the official explanation is physically impossible. And what I see with the contribution of Richard Gage with architects and engineers is that he was able to get 3,000 plus professional architects and engineers to put their license number on the statement that the official story is physically impossible. So again, from my point of view, everyone is justified to withdraw consent and require demand arrest of the leaderships for these crimes, because it is not physically possible that their story is true. And the most likely explanation is that our government is at least covering up and they're complicit in the murders and the crimes going on after as well. But with the pessimism that you see for being able to take this to court, oh, absolutely, we've been completely shut out. So with all of the cases for election fraud in 2020, like 60 of them, 57 of them have been thrown out for lack of standing. And Rainer Fulmich, the attorney licensed in California and in Germany, has not been able to get a court venue to hear the case for COVID, so-called COVID crimes against humanity. So the court of public opinion is still where we're going to have to exist within, given that the leadership still has every agency captured. And again, the good news that I see in the analogy of the emperor's new clothes is that the naked empire paraded all the way up until the last moment, and the adults were shushing the children, pointing to the naked empire, until one moment where there was some sort of breakthrough and the adults looked with their own eyes and spoke with their own voices. And that is the type of breakthrough that we need. But until we get there, we'll be back on Friday with more of the news that you need to know. Joe, anything else, brother?
No. See you guys next week, hopefully.
Excellent.